All right, call this meeting to order. Sterling Opera House Commission for January 13th, 2025, regular meeting. Stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
603.
603.
I pledge allegiance
To the flag of the
the
United
United
States
States
of
of America,
America,
and
to
to
the
the
Republic
Republic
for which it stands, one
one
nation,
nation.
under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for
Can
all.
we just, before we sit, can we just stand and have a moment of silence? We lost somebody in the community over the weekend, way too young, and I just want to pay a little respect to the family and give our condolences here at the city to them.
Of course.
Thank you.
Who was that? Friend of mine.
Yeah, it was a
Yeah.
girl on that got in the accident
Oh no.
last night on Route 8. Yeah.
Chloe Ramzabad.
Only 14.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Roll call. Dana Florenza
Here.
Brian Capullo here. Gino DiGiovanni.
Here.
Carly Patchett, Carlene Galuzzi. All right, we have quorum. All right, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoptions of the agenda.
Make
None?
a no.
Does
Hang on.
anybody have any corrections, additions, or deletions?
I'll
Okay.
make a motion to adopt the agenda as presented.
Okay, we have a motion. Second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. So moved. All right, the approval of November's meeting minutes. So, do we have time to peruse these?
Yeah, I have nothing.
Does anybody have anything they want to add, delete, make comment on?
No.
If not, I'll make a motion to approve the November meeting minutes as presented.
Okay, have the motion.
Second.
Seconded. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
So moved. Okay, public portion. Anybody from the public wish to speak? Anybody from the public wish to speak? Anybody from the public wish to speak? Okay, hearing none, we can move on. Old business. Okay, so we have the update on the architect walkthrough. So Chino, do you mind briefing us?
Oh, thank you, Mark. So, as all you know, the RFP got approved by the Board of Aldermen. We presented it, went out to the public, and we had, I just want to get the information, but we had our walkthrough for the firms. It was not a mandatory walkthrough, but we had about 20, I think, two people there all together, and there was something like eight or 10 firms. Now we'll see, if they all come back. The dates are the 15th or the 16th.
I believe the 15th.
15th. They're due back. The questions from any firms were due on the due back on the 8th. We did have some questions. Now, what I want to do too is just for anyone that's going to watch the meeting later, or for anybody here, if you go on the city's website and you go underneath, I believe it's the bids tab, and you go underneath there, you'll see the RFP for the Sterling Opera House. And if you click on there, there's going to be a ton of links there. The 2002 study will be there. The prints will be there. Numerous documents will be there. So if anybody wants to catch up to where we are, you could see everything that's been going back and forth. But the RFP is due back. And so what I wanted to do too is, in kind of researching this, so when we got the questions back, there was a couple of questions that I had to go and kind of search for the answers. But what it did was I found that, so I asked Linda and the mayor if, so in doing some research, there was a print I found online. It was from MOS Architects out of New York. and it had a stamp on it of 2013. Now, that didn't jive with any of the information that we had, but by doing some investigative searching, this is what I found. So in 02, the old Save Our Sterling, the city of Derby, it was called Phase One. So they did a structural repair and an emergency stabilization to the whole outside of the building. Mayor Associates of Brantford, they were the contractor, and it was developed by Fletcher and Thomas, which a lot of us see the work from Fletcher and Thomas. And then as I started to dig a little bit deeper, 2006 is when the roof was replaced. And then, matter of fact, Mark Garfalo was one of the very first to secure $1.2 million from Joe Crisco, and it was a cultural grant. And then Congressman Jim Maloney got, there was either a grant or maybe that, it didn't say, but maybe that was part of the budget too. There was $100,000 there. The community foundation was $50,000. The city of Derby was $85,000. And then in 2000, I think six, maybe part of it was Rosa DeLauro. She had either grant or let's just say funds for $150,000. The Catherine Matthews Foundation was $22,500. There was a grant for $67,000 that replaced the main cupola. And then another $86,000 was for the design and the build of the roof foundation for the main cupola that's on the edge of the building there. So to date, that was 2010 to 2013. It was like $1.8 million was invested into the building. Then I found a news article from the CT Insider, which that was from 2000. And let's see, that was in 2010. And Sheila O'Malley was quoted in there saying that MOS architects will have 6 to 9 months for the interior design. And then I found, well, Linda actually found it. The chief of staff found a final draft copy from MOS, which was like July 28th of 11. And then we found downstairs in the basement, we found a progress set, and that was from 11/27 of 13. So that 11/27 of 13 matched what I found online. So, you know, through the years, a lot of work has been done to this building. And the reason why I kind of give you this background is because the firms that we had here that were interested in this RFP, when we did this walkthrough, you know, we walked in, I gave them a little bit of a background. Matt Wielander was there as well. And, you know, I told everybody that was there, because we spent some serious time in there, obviously, to do what they got to do. They got to get, you know, photos and be detailed in it. But I asked everyone, if you see any water, any, not standing water, but any water that looks like it was fresh or not, please just take a picture. Let me know. I want to go up there so that we could assess it and find out. And I think that had them looking in more detail than maybe they would have, which was fantastic, because the comments we got from the people that walked through there were, they were amazed of how good the building is. And then in doing this research, at the time that this work was done, the whole outside, the abatement, and you know, the removal of a few pigeons, and you know, all that went on to it, it was estimated at that time that the interior work that was left was somewhere in between $3 to $4 million. Now, you had about almost $2 million and another four, you know, that puts you up to your 6 to 7, which kind of puts you right in line without doing the downstairs portion of it, but puts you right in line to what that 2002 study said. So everything started to jive together, which was good. And I didn't know, I was missing some things that I found out, you know, doing this research for this, for, you know, for the walkthrough and then answering the questions, you know, I wasn't here for those early years. So I didn't remember, to be honest with you. But all in all, I think it was great that they came, they saw it. Another company did not make the walkthrough. They called, and it's Steinberg Heart. And Linda and I met them there, I think it was Friday. They walked through it. And in talking with them, they have this guy, Duncan, was there. He worked on the original 2002 study. And then there was another gentleman that works at their firm that also worked on it. So they were quite familiar. And I took them all the way up into the, you know, up into the roof, up into the attic where the cupolas were. And they were amazed at, you know, of the reinforcing that was in there. So the outside of the building is has held up, and they were quite impressed. There's going to be minimal work on the brickwork and stuff on the outside. Not as much as a lot of people were.
You could ask questions
we'll
now.
Keep it open if you
like.
When they were looking at, and you came to that number, I'm assuming that was the repair the outside of the building, but not to restore the theater.
What number are you talking about, Dave?
The one you said that matched the...
The 3 to 4 million?
Yeah.
The 3 to 4 million was just the interior. Now,
not the seats. And...
Oh, yeah.
That included the seats?
Correct. Yeah. Now, don't forget, that was...
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, there's no podium. They had training in here today.
My concern is, as we design the theater portion.
You push up. Oh. Mics aren't that strong. There we go. All right.
My concern is that, having done theaters, there are components that you got to factor in, like the fly system, the lighting system, the sound systems. Mm-hmm. That is what elevates the cost.
So okay,
if
so
you're
let me
operate it as a theater.
So let me back up. So the interior, right, according to the documentation that we have, was not for, you know, the theater, the fly, you know,
to make it not working,
because that wasn't really inter. But what it did include, to the prints that we have, was the main entrance in, the wood, you know, all the walls, and to upfit
okay,
it,
so that
the
sense.
Back of the building,
yeah,
in between the courthouse and the back of the building, is where all the staircases go. Mm-hmm. And if you go online, right,
yeah,
or we have a hard copy, we could bring it for the for the February meeting. But what was nice about it was right where 4th Street goes or used to go through, that's where they put that elevator. And I always remembered, you know, that there was some type of print or whatever with the elevator in that back corner. So that was there.
And, well, I told Dana, we would have liked, Tom and I would have liked to be on that tour, but we didn't know about it. So
it wasn't open to the public. And it was.
We need to get in there to take a look at it. I haven't been in it since 1975.
Yeah, so, we can get in there.
That makes sense now because, and we'll talk about this when you have open part of the meeting.
Yeah.
But I gotta do some projections as to what is the total cost of what you're saying, but the renovation of the actual theater.
Yeah, so we're gonna get that. That's what they're gonna do. So they're gonna take that 2002 study. So some of these were some of the questions, right? So they're going to take that 2002 study that they had. They're going to use that just as a framework because some of the questions came back, and I got a few of them here. And you know, they wanted to know You know, are we just going to update that? And my answer was no. You can use that as a framework, but if you just update that, I don't know if the market is still accepting a niche like that. It might be changed somehow, some way, you know. So they got to go and find out what is the market looking for. Is it something like our idea, how we said, hey, you know, just for an example, 300 days is going to go to somebody putting some type of productions on there, and 65 days of it is going to be for, you know, Derby High School Drama Club, Center Stage, sure. Christmas Spectacular, whatever, you know, the community uses it for. And then what do we do with the downstairs, like where City Hall was? Do we put the Valley Community Foundation? Do we rent space? Do we have, you know, different, I don't want to say cubicles, but different offices where people come and they paint and you could walk in and watch them paint or carve wood or
like a craft center.
Well, yeah, whatever. You know, so that's what they need to, you know, put on the piece of paper so that then we can go to our private and public partners and say, listen, this is what the idea is going to look like. And now we know what that plan is going to look like. And now we could put a hard number to that. Yeah. You know what I mean? We could say that it's going to be $350 a square foot. Well, here's a hard number.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm just looking at what we did, a community theater, and I happen to be able to be out in Indiana where we did it and see
yep.
the work completed. And that's only a 200 seat community theater. But the fly system alone was $1 million.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
You know, and it's a fraction of the size of the one we're going to need.
Mm-hmm.
I can give you an update on why Fafna didn't submit a proposal. That's the guy I wanted you to talk to from Tennessee.
Hey, I was wondering.
Well, the project in Mount Vernon has gone from $20 million to $40 million. It's now going to $50
million. Wow.
And Denzel decided that he's going to have this guy do the whole thing. We have
so it sounds like he's going to be busy for a little while.
Yeah.
A lot more than he thought.
Yeah.
Plus he's a expert. And you know, we thought we had to bid it out, which we may still have to under state law. But Denzel wants this guy, so he basically said, whatever the difference is in the bid.
Well, he's already been on the project,
he paid
so
out of his pocket. So that's why he didn't submit.
Okay.
And he apologized. I said, I went out on a limb now to send it to you. You didn't have the common courtesy to respond.
No,
the good reason.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'm moving
Gino.
My chair back. I'm done.
Thank you.
Until the next time.
So, Gino,
yep.
you said that those going from a theater, refurbished theater, to maybe not exactly an active theater, an active venue, that include the seating as well? That core number, I know you talked about walls and
that guess, that estimate of what was left went in that. So that all that married the two, you know, mirrored the 2002 study. So when you go and kind of go through this master plan here, mm-hmm. that was there, they even break it down inside here of, you know, the way they designed it and set it up, and then talking with Sabre Sterling, the city at the time, and whomever else,
right.
But about how much it was going to cost for operating costs for the year. They were going to have one full time. What part of that was the city going to, you know, pick up? What was going to be in there? And it really goes and breaks this down pretty good. You know, so they had rental space, how much revenue that was going to bring in. So this is what I was talking about. So they had, now this is just from 2002 study, and I just will glance over this really quick, but they only had 153 performances. They had 146 event days, 81 prep days for those events, and it was used or in occupancy for 227 days. And they guesstimated an attendance of 34, almost 35,000. And then with the operating revenue of 94,000 and the operating expenses of 294, the Sterling covers 32% of operating costs, with the earned revenues, leaving an annual funding requirement of $201,000. So, you know, and when I used that 365, you know, that was just a, you know, we're just talking, and that was just a, you know, an example. But they, so the people that that did this, in the back here, because I read through this thing like 10 times and I keep finding more and more stuff. So Fletcher and Thomas was the architects, but the theater consultant was Charles Kozer out of New York. And then they had an arts and management and a marketing, which did all of the, which was web management services. And they went in and, you know, they said for this average size with the seating where we are. So they really got really in depth with this. And they also had an environmental consultant. And, you know, I'll tell you, it's pretty good. It's good to use for, you know, a framework to get these, you know, these new firms to update it. And, you know, and a couple of questions were, if we use this as a framework, you know, what are the next steps going to be? And I told them that.
Well, I think that's the key word. It's not an update. It's definitely a framework, right?
Like just this a framework. We're not
updating this current, you know.
You know, and that's the thing, too. This kind of gave them framework, and it didn't have them, you know, searching for their own ideas. You know what I mean? Because if you read through this, Save Our Sterling sat with these people, and they were part of like the consultation of what they envisioned. And then they went back and forth and back and forth, you know, from 2000. So this information actually came from 2000. Like when you read through here, you know, 9/11 didn't happen yet. Like all these events that have happened over all this time, you know, didn't happen. So this is probably not even going to be anywhere where the market really is acceptable, but it took them.
How many seats were they going to keep it at the same seating? Or?
Oh, I think it was 800 seats.
Mm-hmm. That's 400.
Right? Yeah. Which seems, which ADA
which
and.
Makes, yeah, because of the ADA, you got to look at the pitch of the seats and the width.
Right.
You change the seats.
Right.
And you're not, I never saw us using the third balcony because you're going to need a control center for all the lighting, sound, and, right. And most theaters now, like the Schubert,
yeah.
Doing that.
Right.
In the back of the house.
Yeah.
So there's a so if you walk up the front stairs, right, and you go in and you keep going all the way up, above the balcony that high, there's a there's an attic in there, and that's where that main cupola is. And they had to reinforce and sister up all the beams, and there's steel in there and whatnot. But I heard, you know, some of the people that walk through talking where they can get light racking and all that and keep the top, you know, which was a pretty good idea, you know.
Perfect.
And
yeah,
good use. And also too, we went all the way up to through the hatch, went all the way up to the top, and that other cupola up there, man, it took them in reading it took them like 2 years, I think, to build it. And the company that did the smaller one in the center of the building did the same one on the outside. But, man, it is really constructed nice out of steel and aluminum. And, you know, it was really windy when we were up there last week. And, you know, it's still dry up there, you know. And they were very, you know, the people that were through there were very impressed that the building is held up the way it's been. And, you know.
Well, that's a good thing that they're
exactly, yeah. So
the restoration of the theater.
I'm sorry?
The bids that are coming in for the new RFPs are going to be for the restoration of the entire theater.
They should
it,
be.
Yes, it's going to be. It's not going to be. It's going to be an estimate, and it's going to be a gross estimate. So it'll range, I would think, somewhere like this. It'll be, you know, 4 to 8 million, 6 to 12 million, whatever the numbers are. But you're not going to get, you know, this is just like I said, the framework. We're going to put X, Y, and Z in this building. It's going to cost this much to renovate it. And then, like MLS did, you'll see they went down to the interior to they had the door schedules, the window schedules, all the hardware. Like, that is a full print that has been done. And it's like this thick, all the way down to the architecturals, the structurals, the mechanicals. And we uploaded all that so that these new firms can go and access that, measurements and everything. You're not going to get a hard number on how much replacing, I don't know, pick any seats are going to cost until we have the spec for that and send it out to bid. But you're going to get a range. It's going to be anywhere between $500 and $1,000 a square foot. I don't know what the numbers are. I'm just saying.
I think
and that's what this is going to do.
At some point, light years down the road, we're going to need the hard numbers.
Oh, not light years.
To restore it. That, and make it operational, because then that becomes the goal of the fundraising.
Right. But once we get to, like, so this subcontracted.
So once we get the. So once we get these, you know, numbers back, and we sign a contract with Company A for X amount of dollars. Once they give us what we have here, let's just say, whatever that number is, let's just pick $10 million. It's going to cost you $10 million to get it to whatever the market wants. We're going to then take that $10 million and start looking for money. We're going to start doing this, start doing that. Because that number, you got to start getting a little bit more money in so that we could go and pick out an architect, MOS, whoever it is, and say, now update these prints. So then you could take that set of prints that we already have, update those, and go to Company AY, whatever, and say, listen, I need you to be a general contractor. What is this going to cost me? They're going to tell you a hard number. That's how you got to get there.
You're a contractor, so you know it's better than you. But what these people are going to give you is, I'm going to give you a frame of reference for where we want to take the building.
So all our discussions that we've been having for since 2002, let's just say, they're going to put all our discussions on a piece of paper and turn our dream into a fact.
Okay.
Because they're going to back it up with the documentation.
He just made a statement, we got to start raising money to get to that point. That's okay. Some of that will happen. The more research I'm doing, the bulk of this money is going to come from state and federal dollars,
mm-hmm.
and some individuals, a lot of foundations. I've already reauthorized the foundation search because the one we talked about before is too old. Mm-hmm. It's over a year old. So I've authorized my company to do another whole foundation. So we'll update all of that. So that's all going to be. But we can't even make those applications until we have the final loan.
Yeah.
What's going to take the openings? So that's what we're going to ask.
So even
we've got to find a way to raise, if you're talking about, is initial funding to get the people in place to do that.
Well,
so we've got to be aware of that. We're going to have to get some more grants from the state or person.
Well, here's the thing, Dave. No matter
individuals give it up.
You're right. No matter what you do for any type of state grant, state project, whatever it is, no, you're not going to get any funding from any municipality, any federal, any state, anything without this.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's why we should have, in my opinion, 100 of these on the shelf from 1 to 20 million. So when the state calls up and says, hey, Mayor DiMartino, I got $5 million for you. Give me a project. You can't say, I'm going to go and do a study and I'll get back to you. You got to go over to your wall and you got to pick out the $5 million project where you already have this done, no matter if it's from 02 or from yesterday, and say, here you go. And that's what we're doing.
All I'm saying is, and I agree with everything you're saying, when we go to raise the money, we're going to have individual shots doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't say we can't say today, well, we think this is going to cost us $10 million. When it's going to cost us $15 million. Because we
right.
get one shot at this.
Right.
One thing you're not haven't even talked about, which is critical to this process, is let's take a ballpark figure. Let's say it costs $15 million to do the whole renovation. Your goal is 20, because you got to have at least $5 million in an endowment.
Correct.
To ensure the operations of the facility and not have a gun to your head.
Yep.
And when you do the endowment, the way that's used is you only use a percentage of the interest on the corpus, and you reinvest the rest of that interest so the endowment continues to grow. So that's the way I have to set it up.
And that's exactly how SOS had it set up with the Valley Community Foundation as well.
Yeah. And, you know, and Tommy and I are on the advisory board of the Valley Community Foundation, so we have good relationships with everybody on that board and Aaron. So I'm just saying that there's preliminary numbers, there's interim numbers, but it's the final number that we got to have in order to do the kind of things, the kind of fundraising we want. Because once we get one, a grant or something, you're probably not going to be able to go back for 5 years or more.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure we maximize it when we make the original application.
Yeah, we understand. Sure. I mean, what we're talking about is getting these preliminary numbers, but yeah, we're not going to prematurely commit to a number on some of these. Yeah, no, I think we're all in agreement there. Yeah.
Just as a basic guide, and then we've got
of course.
Really, so to answer your questions, Dave, according to this, the hard construction cost at this time, that's why those set of prints were made, was $6.1 million, which was $180 a square foot. And then the other capital cost, including the theater equipment, as well as furnitures and fixtures, totaled $1.1 million. Other miscellaneous expenses, including administration costs, design, consultant fees, legal expenses, totaled $1.9 million. Consequently, the gross estimate for the whole project at this time was all in 9.2.
And
so
what year was it?
This was in 2002.
Double it or triple it?
It doesn't matter. I don't care if it's quadrupled. But what I'm trying to say is that this is going to give you that type of a breakdown.
Yeah.
We just need the 2025 number.
Yeah, that's not the question.
Same page.
Exactly. Right. And that's my point. Okay. So now you'll be able to take this because it's going to be backed up, right?
The newer one of that.
We're correct. That.
Okay.
So that you could take this now and go, oh, we have a grant we could apply for. Well, what do we got? Well, here's the documentation to back up where we got the number from. Yeah. You know what I mean? You got to start somewhere.
The fly system in Indiana was $1 million for community theater. But we were able to go to that company and convince them to charge us $500,000 and donate the other $500,000.
Right.
So one of the good things about theater restoration are contributions in kind.
Right.
So when you bid it, and this is the thing we got to keep in mind when we're actually bidding this out for the actual work, there's got to be a section in the bid documents that says to the contractor, we need to know what you're going to do in kind.
Right.
That could be 20 or 30% of the total cost. We just finished a project in Polk County, Florida. I told them you got to put that in the bid documents. They didn't. And they awarded the bid. And then they went back to the contractor and said, so how much you giving us? I said, nothing.
Right.
I gave him you got to get that up front. So
to answer
what you're saying is right. That's right. The outline that we're going to use. We're just going to update the numbers.
Yep. And to answer your other question on the endowment, right? 9.2 was the hard number, right? And then that was with what I said before, 6.1 plus the fly, blah, blah, blah. That was all in 9.2. We would recommend a funding plan that seeks $10.7 million, which was $1.5 million additional from private sector and public sector money to be raised to create the endowment. We would stress the importance of professional advice and investing the funding, blah, 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 so that the potential of the project, the scaling and phasing of it, this is now a tool for fundraising experts to use in their analysis. So what you said is exactly right.
The numbers you gave for that study, the number they identified for your time, it'll almost be out of the money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to increase exponentially between The 2025
number.
So, it's all going to be the same design.
Yep.
Same component. That's good work.
So that's where we're at with that. Like I said, the 15th, we're going to get the numbers back, and we have a timeline that we have to meet. Don't forget, we got a we got a time. The money's going to expire at the end of June, so we'll get our.
We got to have this resolved.
Yeah. So the bids are due back, and then I believe Corporation Council set it up. We'll get the on the 15th. We'll bring it back. We'll make a recommendation. The Board of Aldermen, I think, then approves it in March. But there is a timeline in the RFP. I don't think I have the whole thing over here. But then another thing, real quick, was I found in doing this research was the National Registry of Historical Places. This is actually the nomination form, the original one, copy, the original that was entered. I want to make sure I clarify that, from 1968. And the entry number was 0002. So
it was the first or second one.
And now it's the first building. So
that's going to be invaluable.
Yeah. And it came with you could take a look at this, but it came with pictures, man. And I looked through it and I was pretty impressed. These were all the pictures I printed off that went with it. And the more and more I went back and I looked at some of these pictures, man, this building was in disarray. It was in terrible shape. Everything was rotted. The window, I mean, it was falling down.
The last time I was in it was during the tercentennial when we pulled the three seats out to restore them.
Mm-hmm.
We had to bring shovels to shovel the pigeon crap out of it so we could get into the building
yep.
and get the three seats. That's how bad it was.
Wow. So if you want to look through this, those are,
I mean, I'm talking 10, 15 inches deep.
Oh, it was terrible. I know.
Thank you, Kino. Appreciate it. That was very thorough. I took a lot of questions and answered them for us.
Yeah, so. I'll tell you, Linda, the chief of staff, she's been great. You know, she's been fielding the calls and sending everything out. I mean, really everyone at City Hall, even from Lisa, I mean, they were scanning documents and posting them. We found a ton of stuff that really nobody knew was there. We found it down in the basement, and Linda and I went down there one day, and it was right on the top shelf when you walk into the right hand side, and it was like sitting there for us. It was it was good. So they've been a big help. So that's all I got.
All right, thank you, Gino. All right. So moving on to new business, discussing the upcoming event at Twisted Vine.
So we're very fortunate that the Twisted Vine has offered to host us for an event, since Mondays are a little difficult for everybody to get to. So we're hoping that the community can come out on February 1st. I posted a lot about 2024. I was still in the 2024 spirit. Yep. Yeah. February 1st, 2025. February 1. It's a Saturday. It's from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. And it'll be right down at the Twisted Vine. Their parking lot's open now, so we have a lot of space.
Yeah, fine.
2 p.m. to 5 p.m. So I just wanted to ask the commission if there's anything. I plan on setting up a PowerPoint of some of the videos and pictures that I have just to kind of run on the projector, like while people are there. I know we're going to be asking a lot of questions.
Dave is going to bring his PowerPoint.
Yep. So I do want.
But we need a projector.
So I'll
take care of it. I'll make sure that we have a projector. Well, see, I make a promise and then you up the ante, but that's fine. Yeah.
Why don't you find it? What's he gonna bring? The laptop again, like we did, or how are you?
Yeah,
I can bring it on a thumb drive, or I can bring it on a laptop.
I'd say bring the laptop.
Bring the laptop. We plug it in. Now, if you can't get one, let me know. I might be able to borrow one from the Boys and Girls Club.
Okay.
Either way. It's got to be a regular project. That little one that I showed you guys up at the firehouse isn't going to cut it in a place like that.
Right.
Well, it's a small screen. I mean,
what if we have a TV like that? You could do it on a TV. You see Dave over there?
Yeah, as long as we can
hook your computer into it, right?
Yeah, I think that would be cleaner too. You don't have to worry about, you know,
you're able to hook your
in a way. And
yeah, if you can, if the TV has an HDMI,
knowing him, he'll bring it.
Thing is, you want to make sure the TV is big enough. I don't know how many people are going to be there.
Oh, it's more of an informal.
Are you
going to
bring a TV, Gino?
Huh?
You going to bring the TV?
Well, I could see if I could acquire one for the evening, if that works better. We got to sell ourselves.
Two to five.
Yeah.
2 p.m.
Yeah.
to 5.
I'm just saying.
You know,
at the Twisted Vine, they have a
and I'll have my computer too, like, so I can always hook it up if you want to bring flash drive.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go down there.
Well, it depends. I mean, how many people are we thinking?
I don't know. We've blasted it out.
I just have the event that I posted on Facebook.
Yeah, we got a lot of people.
I could print that and post it places. Do you have any ideas of where I could post it?
What's
Instagram?
Instagram, okay.
Flyers.
I'm saying like flyers, like anywhere else we could post the picture. The little
the invite?
Yeah, the invite.
Maybe reach out to the Historic Society. They have events. We can reach out to them. See if they
post it on social
the libraries.
And then do like senior center.
Right.
The senior center. That's okay.
Yeah, we get a nice number of how many people most likely attend, and then that could,
community page
again. Oh, and then you know where too? We'll go to the elderly housing and drop them off in the community room there.
Okay.
Right, for the old timers.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, it'll be like a two prong.
And then we could bust them down there at Valley Transit.
High school drama club.
Yeah.
You know, the more young people we get involved, the more manpower we're going to need at some point.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. I could reach out to the high school and then
I could reach out to my daughter's school. She goes to Emmett O'Brien.
Yeah.
I know Arthur Newberg, I think.
I work there.
Arthur was interested too, right?
Yeah.
Arthur?
Yep. I can reach out to him.
Okay.
Yep. Definitely.
So, what's the scenario for that day?
So the Twisted Vine is giving us food. So they're going to have a few appetizers set out, and I think waters and sodas. Anything like past that, if anyone wants to get any alcoholic beverages or dinners, then they have to, you know, buy it themselves. But they're going to be hosting us, for, you know, having us there. So, yeah. So he's, you know, so we'll have it from 2 to 5. I don't think they open it to the public until I think 4 or 4:30. Like their actual restaurant. But we have the whole upstairs. So if anyone comes in, you know, they have other seating downstairs. So it's really an event, you know, they're really giving us the restaurant.
Do PowerPoint live at some point when we have a number of people there, and then move it after that. So it's kind of fluctuating running on the screen.
So my idea was I have a PowerPoint, a video. So with the walkthrough, I made a lot of videos and I have a lot of pictures. So I was going to make I have a PowerPoint of just like that can just run in the background. Yeah. And then when you have the presentation, we can present. Is there anything else that anyone would want me to bring or
you can send me?
Yeah.
I can put something.
Okay.
Did anybody send Dave the little clips that you made?
I sent him the video, one of the videos,
maybe good.
One or two.
I got that. But yeah. I'm saying you have stills.
Mm-hmm. I have stills.
Send me those and I can incorporate some of those in to the PowerPoint when we're talking about the restoration.
Okay. Is there anything like any like I know we have like the playbills and stuff that
right brings. I think some of like the visual marketing is good. We could bring some of that stuff.
Okay.
Also, I wanted to just say that some of this great stuff that we found, the historical stuff we found, Gino found, I think
it's on the internet.
Right. But I think maybe we can put up a little, and since you guys are kind of spearheading the actual event coordination, I'd be happy to come up with almost like a press junket little release packet. So if people want to take a packet, they can sift through the history visually, kind of on their own time, take it home with them. So we could do something like that with some of these documents, as well as some photos we can get from the archives.
I'm also meeting with Christine Boulay. She's the local history coordinator. I'm meeting with her on the 21st. If anyone else wants to come, she has a lot of pictures and information that she's going to give me so that we can present as well. She's booked from the library, yeah.
So in looking through like these prints and stuff, when you went in into images, April Pierzynski, you know April?
Mm-hmm.
She had, I don't know, from years ago, I guess, but it was all photos of Pinterest. And she must have been maybe part of the Saber Sterling or mother maybe or somebody, but she went in and you know where those playbills were on the wall and they're faded out mm-hmm. real now? So she must have took these pictures probably 25 years ago.
Wow.
Like clean and crisp. So they were on Pinterest, I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we could use those or maybe she has the pictures or something.
Okay.
But maybe we could reach out to her.
All right, perfect.
I saw her name on it.
But we could have sold t-shirts like I went to buy 2 years ago at Derby Day.
Yeah. Let's get some more attention and then the t-shirts will come. If you build it, the t-shirts will come.
All right. Look at Denzel. Don't even.
Yeah, easy.
Right. I mentioned this to him, by the way.
I know.
I'm gonna take the, he's going to retire. He's doing two more movies. And then he's retiring. So I don't think I'll get him here, but I mentioned it to him.
And he's coming to Derby, baby.
Yeah. Carlene, is there anything else? I don't want to cut you off.
Just adding on to, you know, like the new business and events. Do we want to just for next time, kind of, I could get started on something for the 350th for Derby. They asked us to be involved in it on Facebook. I didn't know if anyone was had an idea or what we could do.
I was thinking about bringing that up. We need ideas. I don't know. I told Jim that they could count on us. I don't know what they want.
Okay.
Well, I think what we should do is we should just sit down and have a talk and see mm-hmm. what their expectations are, what we could bring to the table. You know, we're kind of in our infancy as well. So, mm-hmm. you know, right. if we can work together, kind of
I think we got to see what
out.
Kind of format they're going to have.
Exactly.
Is it going to be like a Derby Day or is it going
well,
to
they
be...
listed us and asked for volunteers for us.
They did?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we have a list where people can apply to be a volunteer for the commission.
Right. We'll be happy to volunteer, but
right.
absolutely,
yeah.
But definitely figure out, you know, have a sit down with them and figure out, you know, what exactly we can do going forward with working together. And
I talked to the mayor this week.
Okay, great. All right, great. All right, thank you.
Yep.
All right. Moving on to 9, adopt the 2025 regular meeting schedule. So. We have this upcoming meeting schedule, unfortunately, due to, I'll blame myself. Unfortunately, with my work schedule, I'm unable to hit every second Monday of the month. So this schedule helps me out greatly, and I appreciate the rest of the board to help me with that, and, you know, assist me with that.
You need a copy?
Sure, so what we should do is we should take this meeting schedule and we should post it on all our social media.
Okay.
That way we can refer to it. Please take it.
It's February, March, and April are different.
Yeah.
We're the same as all the other months.
Right. So, but thank you all for being patient. Thank you guys.
Of course.
So I would like someone to make a motion to adopt the meeting schedule. As long as it's found.
Make a motion.
You make the motion? Yep. Okay. Second. Great. All in favor?
Aye.
Post? All right. So moved. The 2025 schedule. All right. Last but not least, motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. We have a motion to adjourn. Second. All right. Great. Well, that is the meeting. Thank you, everyone.
So Matt Wielander is on his way here. He's trying to make the
meeting.
Yeah, that's all right. Good. I'll talk.
Here you go. He's hoping for one. He's for the needed one.